All responsible nations must join forces to isolate the brutal regime of North Korea.
President Trump departs South Korea with a message for the North. It's Thursday, November 9th. This is VOA Asia. Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, President Trump is making an important but low-key visit in Beijing. Big trade deals are signed in China. We look back at Trump's election anniversary. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In his last public comments before leaving for China, President Donald Trump told South Korea's National Assembly in Seoul Wednesday that North Korea's nuclear and missile programs don't make Pyongyang safer, but putting the rogue regime in grave danger. After praising the South Korean miracle, Mr. Trump contrasted the South's political and economic successes with the, quote, prison state of North Korea. And he had a message for the leadership in Pyongyang.
Do not underestimate us. And do not try us. We will defend our common security, our shared prosperity, and our sacred liberty. America does not seek conflict or confrontation, but we will never run from it. We will not permit America or our allies to be blackmailed or attacked. We will not allow American cities to be threatened with destruction. The time for excuses is over. Now is the time for strength. All responsible nations must join forces to isolate the brutal regime of North Korea, to deny it and any form you cannot support, you cannot supply, you cannot accept. We call on every nation, including China and Russia, to fully implement UN Security Council resolutions, downgrade diplomatic relations with the regime, and sever all ties of trade and technology.
Mr. Trump said it was the shared responsibility to confront the North Korean danger, because the longer we wait, the greater the danger grows and the fewer the options become. Asan Institute for Policy Studies researcher James Kim tells VOA's Victor Beatty the speech was well received. He said it clearly laid out the shared history between the United States and South Korea and Mr. Trump's view of the state of affairs on the Korean Peninsula.
In general, I rate his speech as being on script. There wasn't much ad-libbing there, and he didn't really present any surprises. It was a positive outcome for him in terms of his performance with the speech.
A couple of quotes from the speech. South Korea will never allow what's going on in North Korea to continue to happen. What does he mean?
He simply means that South Korea is going to take a firm stance in doing what it needs to do to deter possible or potential attack if North Korea were to consider that. He's being very open about the different possibilities there. Clearly, he also noted at other parts of the speech what he saw as the destructive consequence of a war. On the other hand, he's also making a very firm and strong statement about what South Korea is willing to do in order to deter potential attack by North Korea.
He sent a message to North Korea saying, do not underestimate us. Do not try us. We will defend our common security, our shared prosperity, and our sacred liberty. He also said the time for excuses is over. Now is the time for strength. How do South Koreans interpret that?
Essentially, I think his statement was that he wanted peace through strength. And essentially what his speech does is reinforce his position that he will take a firm stance on North Korean provocations of any kind of act of belligerence against the United States or its allies.
James Kim said Mr. Trump's statement that the time for excuses is over, it's now a time for strength, may refer to the presence of three U.S. aircraft carrier strike groups and a nuclear-armed submarine in the region. Stay with VOA Asia as we have more on Mr. Trump's visit to China in just a moment. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. Trump arrives in China for thorny talks on trade and North Korea. Duterte would tell Trump to lay off human rights questions. Myanmar rejects UN criticism over Rohingya Muslim crisis. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are found on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by our VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. U.S. President Donald Trump arrived in Beijing Wednesday, his first visit since winning election to the White House. Trade and North Korea are his top agenda items. Mr. Trump's visit to the Chinese capital has been rather low-key. International Edition's Sarah Williams is also interested on how the relationship between the two countries will advance. She spoke with Beijing correspondent Bill Ide.
Well, it definitely was not anything like what the reception that he had in South Korea, where there were protests. And, you know, on the streets here around the hotel where he's staying, security is really tight. There's a, you know, security presence on the street that seems to be up, but you don't really see a lot of, you know, the Chinese state media has said that a lot of people are watching this very closely, but on the street, I didn't really get that feeling like, you know, very many people knew about the trip. In fact, I was over by the hotel yesterday morning and overheard a couple say to each other, you know, hey, what's this another big event going on? Because we just had the 19th Party Congress, and it didn't appear that they knew that Trump actually was going to be in town this week. I spent some time in front of the Forbidden City today, saw his motorcade pass. He spent a good deal of his time today in the Forbidden City, touring the Forbidden City and having a banquet there with Xi and his wife and, of course, Trump and his family and those who were with him as well. But, you know, overall, it's a very subdued kind of atmosphere. China, of course, wants this to be a very important visit. They're calling it State Visit Plus, a very catchy name. What that means is it's a combination of, you know, both these meaty policy issues, and also they're trying to, you know, kind of have opportunities to exchange cultural Chinese culture with Trump, build that relationship. So it got off to a very quiet start, and we'll see what happens. We've got another full day tomorrow. There was a lot of deals already that were signed today. There were about 19 deals that were signed worth $9 billion, and we're going to see more of that. But that really isn't what American companies are looking for. They want to see some of these more difficult issues, these longstanding issues between China and the United States regarding market access, intellectual property rights, these kinds of things to be addressed as well.
VOA Beijing correspondent Bill Ide. We're always glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thanks for stopping by today. As President Donald Trump began a two-day state visit to China, Beijing's trade surplus eased slightly in October to $26.6 billion, with the total so far this year reaching $223 billion. It was $347 billion last year. Reducing that imbalance and North Korea were expected to be the two big issues in Mr. Trump's talks with Chinese officials. Bonnie Glaser, a senior fellow at the China Studies at the Washington-based Centers for Strategic and International Studies, tells VOA the two sides are trying to figure out how to move forward with this relationship given their different priorities.
President Trump wants to get China to do more on North Korea, wants to have a fair and reciprocal trading relationship. I think China basically wants a positive relationship with the United States and hopes that it can use this visit to go forward in a way that it will be able to reduce some of the pressure, maybe even fend off some of that pressure on economic and trade issues.
Bonnie Glaser said at this year's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Da Nang, Vietnam, beginning Friday, she expects President Trump to push for more bilateral free trade agreements. She also expects Mr. Trump to talk about his vision of a free and open Indo-Pacific region. She said he does not appear to be in favor of multilateral trade agreements or economic liberalization, a very different economic agenda than what has been seen under previous U.S. administrations. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news alert from VOA Asia: Myanmar says criticism by the United Nations over its handling of the Rohingya refugee crisis could seriously harm negotiations with neighboring Bangladesh to repatriate the 600,000 Rohingyas who fled across the border to avoid a brutal military crackdown. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, where were you and what were you doing a year ago? Well, likely in some way, you were following the surprise election of Donald Trump as the 45th U.S. president. His victory over Democrat challenger Hillary Clinton sent shockwaves across the country and around the world. But his first 9 months in office have been chaotic. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone reports Trump has followed through on some of his election promises, but failed on others.
Election night, 1 year ago, Donald Trump stuns the world with a presidential victory few saw coming.
To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
At his inauguration, Trump made a pledge to the working class voters who largely fueled his victory.
Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Trump's election signified a seismic shift in U.S. politics, says strategist John Feary.
I think the Republican base voter is now a Trump voter, and they see any effort to stymie President Trump from the Republicans as a direct assault on them.
But Trump's presidency got off to a rocky start with a massive protest march and a dispute over the size of his inaugural crowd through spokesman Sean Spicer.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period, both in person and around the globe.
I, Neil M. Gorsuch, do solemnly swear.
The president scored an early success with the confirmation of Justice Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court.
The stock market just hit an all-time record high.
And he gets high marks for his handling of the economy, a booming stock market, and military gains against Islamic State. But Trump and his Republican allies suffered a setback with the defeat of a health care bill in the Senate.
The ayes are 49, the nays are 51. The motion is not agreed to.
That left the president's agenda effectively stalled, says Alan Lichtman.
No ruling party with unified control of government has ever come up as empty as the Trump administration and the Republicans who control the Congress of the United States.
The president's Twitter habit provided plenty of distractions, as did some controversial remarks following violent protests in Charlottesville, Virginia.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
The turmoil and lack of success in Congress have kept Trump's poll ratings low, says Larry Sabato.
A large majority of Americans now believe that Donald Trump is doing a poor job as president. They disapprove of his job performance, and it's going down rather than up.
But Trump's election-style rallies and tweets have kept his base fired up and ensured loyalty among most Republicans in Congress, says Matthew Dalek.
Because he has this pretty tight hold on 35-38%, makes it very hard for the Republicans who control Congress to openly challenge him.
Yet recent criminal indictments and the Russia probe also threatened to cast a shadow over the White House, adding to the uncertainty of where Trump's presidency is headed, says Sabato.
So can he turn it around? Yes. Can he get reelected? Sure. Now, sometimes the hard part's getting elected the first time. But he's making it difficult on himself.
Trump's election was a defining moment in U.S. politics, but its impact on the country and the world remains an open question. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Don't forget you can get our full-length program on iTunes and SoundCloud. We also stream it each and every day on VOA Asia Facebook and also on our website at voanews.com. We invite you to write to us. You can send us a message through Facebook at VOA Asia or send us an email at voaasia@voanews.com. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Dave Magnus, managing editor Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, including Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and David Bird. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.